All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. Barry and I, Cowboys and Indians, right here in Midtown. With perfect view of the skyline. We are enjoying ourselves as we celebrate the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. The results in, we're still tabulating them, but everybody that participated are welcome to stop on by. Plenty of food to be had and discounts for those that participated. And more so than anything else, Barry, let's celebrate the return of Nick Sciarra. The fact that he is back after working a long and grueling set of hours last night covering the Rockets. Good to have Nick back in the fold, back at the station.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. It's been great. The few days I had off was necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, how you feeling? You feeling better?
A lot better. A lot
Did
better.
You, were you pooping a lot or just vomit?
neither. I wasn't pooping a lot.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. That's the kind of sick where you're just like, you know what, maybe I'll bust out the Xbox in a minute. But if there's a lot of pooping and a lot of vomit going on, you don't want to – that's the really bad
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the transition was successful. Thank you for putting that out in the world, Barry.
Well, you know, I'm glad I forgot that was the thing that I put out there was that you were getting your transition surgery. So everything went well, though?
Yep.
Very good. Well, I'm glad. Well, thank you, Nikki. What are you going to go by? You going to go by Nikki?
Nikki Sciarra.
Nice.
Nikki Sciarra is our producer from now on.
So you're Nikki Sciarra. Huh?
Yeah, I got to hit up Michael Carroll and tell him to change the intro.
Yeah, and there's your Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah, that's another problem. At the producer, Nikki is the new Twitter handle.
Is it Nicole or Nikki?
Nikki, short for Nicole. I'm Nicole, okay. But people call me Nikki. Yeah,
okay.
I got a
okay.
nickname that, like 24 hours, I got a nickname.
2Ks.
Nick. Yeah. Got it. Very good. Well, welcome back, Playboy.
Yep, good to have you back. We heard you were out partying with Stephen A. last night.
Tyler was cool.
Stephen A. running around the studio. We heard he took our pre-production spot, side studio.
Yeah, he was there. He wasn't as loud as he normally is. He seemed pretty.
Was he nice to all of our Gal Media peeps?
He didn't really. I didn't see him speak to too many media members, even when he was in the pregame and post. Well, I don't even know if he was at post, but for pregame, he asked one question and kind of walked out.
No. They're at the Palacio Gal Media headquarters.
Oh, I don't know. Yes. I didn't see.
He was there doing his show, I believe.
Well, he's doing right after Palillo.
So, oh,
yeah. Right after Charlie's done, he's in there now. You should be able to see him through the blinds, unless he needs his privacy.
You gonna go get an autograph?
No, I will not do that. Negative.
You'll be able to hear him in your production studio in about 5 minutes. You think Patrick Creighton was loud? Wait till he gets on the air.
I was tempted to approach him for like a quick take on the Rockets because I know he's already picked against the Rockets. He's given them some credit, but he's kind of picked against the Rockets already. So
has he?
Because he's a hater.
Here's an idea.
He's
Go
got
get
the
him
Warriors.
To do a new promo where he gets the station dial position right.
I love that promo. That's like my favorite one.
Yeah, pretty funny. Can I tell you guys that So I left here early Friday.
All right.
And went to Paris, Texas, which is a pretty normal kind of gig, right?
Legit that they have the fake Eiffel Tower there?
No.
No, like they built their own smaller version of it?
No, I've never seen it.
I saw a commercial.
What's weird, that whole part of Texas, that whole north and east, like there's Paris, Texas, there's a Detroit, there's a Manchester. It's like, okay, what are we trying to do here, northeast Texas? Like, who are you trying to be? Trying to be everything except Texas.
That was the whole part of the commercial. The commercial was like, we cover everywhere from Paris to Cleveland to blah, blah, blah. And it was all cities in Texas.
It was weird. There's a Detroit, Texas. But anyways. But then the next gig was in Hochatown, Oklahoma, which is near a thing called Broken Bow. And Broken Bow is like this. It's becoming this. Placed it like a destination for vacations, right? Like they have cabins in the woods, and so that's where we were. We were in this town called Hochatown. It's by Broken Bow. But then we stayed in a cabin. And the cabin literally, I thought that there was a probably like a 75% chance that someone had been murdered in the cabin at one point because it was just so like creepy looking.
Kind of Ed Gein-ish.
Yeah, it was. What was that movie where they were like controlling everything that was going on in the cabin? But behind the scenes, you know what I'm talking about, Tyler. Tyler will think of it. I can't remember. Anyway,
just wait. It's coming.
Yeah,
on text.
Cabin in the Woods. Yeah, it had that vibe to it. But what's weird about Hochatown? First, when I got there, I thought it was called Hoochitown, so I was pretty excited. And then I was like, okay, I read that wrong. But this was I'm driving. There's one street. That's it. It's just there's one street through Hoochitown, and all the businesses are on each side of it. And I was thinking, why are so many businesses here? Why do they all sound like strip clubs? I'm going to give you some of the names of the businesses that exist. And I was like, why does every – so the first place was Janet's Treasure Chest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is knickknacks. Not a strip club. I was like, okay, well, that's off the list. Then there was Okie Girls, and Okie Girls was a coffee house. So I was disappointed with Okie Girls. There was Hot Tails, which sold crawfish. Yep, there was Beaver Bend, which was a brewery. And I was like, wow, they're really all. Then there was the Grateful Head, which was a pizza place.
that's just
yeah,
disjointed.
Yeah, and then the last one, there was a thing called Steven's Gap. And I was like, oh, that's where the male strippers are at. Okay, I get this. I see how this town is working. Okay. It was just like every business. Oh, and then there was Girls Gone Wine.
Wow.
Which I was like, wow, why does everything here sound like a strip club?
How was the crowds at the comedy stuff?
Pretty good. Yeah. The Paris crowd was a little light, but this place, that was actually because there was like a bunch of people, I guess, that stay there out in the woods. And so they come to this show. It's new. They've only been doing it like a month or so, but they'll come, all the people that are there, you know, on vacation.
Do I dare ask the name of the place that the comedy was being performed?
Yeah, you should ask, because that's the funniest one of all. It was called Adam and Eve's Coffee Shop.
Oh, my God.
Which is like, am I going to see lingerie and adult videos, or am I going to see coffee?
After Barry's performance, stop by and get some massage oil.
And is this a microphone or a Bilbo? What is this? What is this? I don't know what this is.
Yeah. So if you spent too much time in Hoochitown, you might find yourself experiencing Broken Bow.
Yeah. Wow. It was pretty interesting. And then I saw the most Oklahoma thing in the world. As I cross into Oklahoma,
saw Mike?
I look to my left, and there's a log cabin trailer. And I was like, that's the most – you talk about doubling down on the redneck. You've gone and taken a trailer and made it a log cabin trailer.
So you did see OU Mike. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you saw the most Oklahoma thing, you saw OU Mike.
But I was like, that is really – like, that's taking redneck and then going, you know what? Yeah. I'm leveling up as a redneck. And I'm going log cabin trailer.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was that was all rather interesting. The cabin we were in was pretty nice. Like, it wasn't great. It was very rustic. But I kept freaking out because it's a cabin. Huh? And there was, like – on the nightstand, there were just all these, like, dead bugs. And I was like...
I was just going to ask you the germ factor.
It was one bathroom for three comics sharing this cabin, and I pooped at Adam and Eve's. I was just like, I'm just going to do it here. You know, you got to do what you got
to
do.
So you had to buy something at Adam and Eve's in order to poop there?
No, because that's what we were performing, so...
So it wasn't a Starbucks.
Yeah, it was weird, because it was Adam and Eve's coffee. No. But then they sold barbecue. The food was really good. This guy was like, "Hey, do you like our barbecue ranch?" And it was just mayonnaise with barbecue sauce in it. And I guess the seasoning they put in ranch. It was actually kind of good. And I was, because I didn't know what it was. I was just dipping the chips in it. But I was like, okay, I've never had chips and mayonnaise, but I guess I'm doing that now. So,
nothing like the
good
food at Cowboys and Indians.
No, nothing like that.
So we are here at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, 1901 Taft Street. You come on down, you see us, especially if you are a member of our weight loss challenge. We'd love to see you. You come in, you order something, you get $10 off your meal until our kitty is gone, because we want to share the great joy of what you guys have accomplished over the last 3 months and have some fun in the process of doing it. Barry and I are down here. Nick's back at the studio.
Mo's in the house.
Mo is here from Houston Family Nutrition. He's signing autographs, taking selfies, and will continue to put a plan together so that you guys can carry through the rest of the year the way you started it. And we'll continue to have some fun. We're here till 4, so hit us up on the HR&P listener line where you can call and you can text 713-780-3776 or hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Nikki Shiraj, at the producer Nick. We'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5. But if you do, you're a fool, because I do to the death. Trying to step to make you take your last breath. I got the skill, come get your fill. Because when I shoot the gift, I shoot the kill. I can check it.
Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, you run the floor.
You know, I think if you got that aggressive mindset, good things will happen. You know, so if they gave me if they gave me space enough where I can get my shot off, I shot it. And if they were pressuring me enough to where I can get by them and make a play for somebody else or myself, then I did that. And whether it's tonight, whether it's 82 regular season game, I'm gonna do the same thing.
That was Jimmy the Face Hardan, the hard throwing lefty of the Sugar Land Skeeters. No, that was James Harden. And as you know by now, unless you're living under a rock, he did what he's supposed to do. He carried his team to victory. Sluggish first half for everybody not named Capella or Harden. But overall, the Rockets do what they need to do, get a victory. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't viewer-friendly at times if you're a Rockets fan. But 104-101, up 1-0 in the series as they take care of business. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. And I assume you watched. Did you watch? Did you get back in time to watch it?
Yeah, I did. I watched that. I recorded it because I watched the Astros game live and then went back and DVR'd and watched it. Ugly first half. Mm-hmm. Ugly second half for a lot of folks, too. Nobody's shot was falling. We were talking about a little bit with Tyler's buddy, but and with Haas, but if those shots fall, this is a completely different game. But it's the thing that I was worried about that I've been talking about during the season is, listen, sometimes this team is going to go cold. They have to find other ways to beat you. They were able to do that. The pick and roll early with Harden and Capella was working. James Harden's shot was falling. He was able to create and get to the basket. So you were able to fade the fact that not a lot of guys had a good shooting night. But defensively, everybody played well. But outside of Capella's 24 and Harden's 44, you got nothing from anybody else, really.
Chris Paul, just non-factor, 6-2 in
the first half. Pedestrian 14.
Yeah, got, some, like you'd say, pedestrian. I think there was almost some gifts given to him start the second half, and he got a little 8-10 footer that no one contested.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, even late in the game, he threw that ball away, and I'm like, what? All you got to do is just hang on to it, run the clock out, you're golden. Instead, you gave them a chance. Good thing they didn't have timeouts left.
Yeah.
You know?
They were 2 of 14 from three-point land at one point. The Rockets were.
Yep.
And I felt like one of the notes I was making notes throughout the game, and the thing I kept making a note about was how wild Chris Paul was playing. He was playing almost out of control.
Like he was pressing.
Yeah, and he was trying to force the issue with guys, and there was, I don't know, it just seemed like it was this weird Chris Paul that I wasn't used to seeing. Like he was trying to be a floor general and a leader, but he was overly aggressive, and it was a weird game for me to watch him play like that. But James Harden did what you're going to need him to do. Did you see the big to do about the travel? I think you were the one that posted it.
It was such a thing. It's such a thing now that everybody's going back and forth with. And you could be
travel on
either side. In that particular replay, he traveled, but overall, when you look at it and look at the scope of things, I saw LeBron James on several occasions in the Cavs game take 5.5 steps before he put the ball on the floor.
Eric Gordon traveled on one of his shots. No one bothered to get upset about it. So, yeah, it's going to happen. It's the NBA. But we'll see how much they scrutinize him because of that. But it's not. I mean, just the fact that he does the step back really isn't a travel.
No, no. But I mean, you know, if you're Ben DuBose, you're going to make sure that you're out there tweeting the fact that he never travels. This is just a conspiracy theory, and the Rockets are the greatest thing on since sliced bread. Look, the reason why I tweeted it in part is because of the fact that this is something we've seen in the past with his Eurostep. Mm-hmm. Come playoff time, if people start drawing attention to things, the NBA has a track record for tightening things up a little bit, and that's going to be interesting to see. We already know Kerr bitched about it before the end of the regular season.
Yep,
that was one of the things that stuck in my mind in watching him in some of those before I even saw the replay. I'm like, this is something where they may make a stink, and if they make a stink, the league may tighten it, clamp down a little bit. And Nick, you were there. I want to get all your thoughts on this. I'll just give you my brief one on the game itself. Minnesota, if you're going to steal a game, that was the game. You know, Butler and Karl Anthony Towns, if you even show up instead of combining for 21 points, you got a real shot. They're not a three-point shooting team, but they were making their threes at one point, more threes than the Rockets had made. Karl Anthony Towns is your leading three-point shooter at 42%. When he made one in the fourth quarter, I thought, oh, Lord. I mean, thank God Jeff Teague kept shooting him out of it whenever it was close. But overall, this is what I've said all along about the philosophy on this Minnesota team. If you just took the reins back, cut them off, and let them run up and down with the Rockets, they have enough talent to stay in a game offensively with that team. You said it, Barry. Look, defense is where they have a problem. But overall, they got enough scorers and talented guys that they can put the ball in the hoop. But Thibodeau calls plays every single time down the floor. It really limits and hampers them. To be honest, where they got all the points to stay in the game were offensive rebounds. They'd get an offensive rebound, Thibodeau wouldn't call a play. They'd be able to freestyle it. They got buckets. But at the end, it caught up with them that they're just not a three-point shooter. And how about Derrick Rose? Because Derrick Rose was a guy that, if the Rockets or anybody else tell you they game-planned and schemed for Derrick Rose being a factor in this series, they're lying.
Well, same thing with Crawford.
Yeah. Well, but Crawford's been a Rockets killer over the years.
But, I mean, the fact that they got 31 out of those two guys
yeah.
off the bench, that was big for them.
And here's the one thing where I really thought the Rockets didn't take good enough advantage of the situation. Derrick Rose on the offensive end was very, very good. On the defensive end, trying to stop James Harden, he can't. But where Harden was hindered was the fact that Capella was still kind of lingering around in the lane, so Karl Anthony Towns was able to help, or Taj Gibson was able to come from the weak side. That's where you invert the offense. If James has got a one-on-one with Derrick Rose, Clint Capella should be behind the three-point line. Take Towns away from the basket and give James a clear path behind the defender. He'll score every time.
Yeah.
So I think there are things that you'll see adjustments on both sides, but if there was a game to be had in this series for Minnesota, I think that's it.
That's a good point.
I really think that, you know, it's over now, but that's the kind of warning shot you needed for this team early on to kind of say, hey, it's not going to be as easy as just being the one seed.
Yeah. Nick, what were your thoughts on the game?
I mean, I think that the good thing is the positive for the Houston Rockets is that, you know, despite getting all those open opportunities from behind the three-point line, they were still able to win the game. And they've been able to do that throughout the regular season. Just because a three-point shot doesn't fall, it doesn't mean they can't win a game. And they've done that quite a bit this season. Now it's carried over to the playoffs. I obviously would like to see more from Chris Paul, but this is just game one. Defensively, they kept leaving the Rockets wide open from behind three-point line, and I don't feel like they made any adjustments. The only adjustments I felt like they made was on Clint Capella. He had, what, 20 or 22 points in the first half?
20 in the first half and, like, 2 in the second half.
Yeah, and so I felt like every time Clint Capella was setting that screen and then he would roll to break to the basket, either Gibson or somebody else would run in front of him to prevent him from getting that alley-oop. And that's the kind of adjustment they're going to have to make if they're going to stop Clint Capella. They just didn't make the adjustments from a perimeter defense standpoint, and I think that's going to hurt them. And defense has kind of been an issue for the T-Wolves for a while. Jimmy Butler, you know I'm a Rockets fan. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I felt like he was still a little hurt. I don't feel like Jimmy Butler was 100%. But Karl Anthony Towns, there's absolutely no excuse. No, he needs to step it up for the T-Wolves.
Boy, he just quits. He's got a whole lot of quit in him, especially when he's not seeing the ball on the offensive end. He just doesn't want to have any. He has no want to on the defensive end. And, Nick, to your point, the one thing that I think, and we've talked about this before the playoffs started, you're going to see more and more open shooters get shots for the Rockets that aren't named Harden and Paul, because that's exactly what teams are going to do. They're going to game plan to take the ball out of Harden and Paul's hands, and it's going to be on the shoulders of guys like Ariza and P.J. Tucker, and when Mbah Mute comes back, him as well. They're going to lay off and say, if we're going to lose to the Rockets, we're not going to lose to Paul and Harden, although Minnesota found a way still to let James go nuts. I think for the most part, as you go deeper in the playoffs, this is the recipe that you're going to see. P.J. Tucker's going to have to make more than he misses. Trevor Ariza's going to have to continue to be consistent. They're going to get wide-open looks from all over the floor because of the way they're going to game plan for him.
I think that's what you saw in the second half. Yep. Was the pick and roll was defended pretty well. And so you had they'd rather get beat by P.J. Tucker or Trevor Ariza on the wing. They went 1-for-9 combined from behind the three-point line for the game, 0-for-4 in the second half. So, but like I said, this is going to happen to a team that shoots a lot, of threes. That's going to happen. Eric Gordon was 1-for-7. So you're talking about 2-for-16 from behind the three-point line for Ariza, Tucker, and Gordon. If they just shoot their normal percentages, this isn't even a close game, because it also changes the dynamic of the offense that the Rockets are able to run and what the Timberwolves have to defend. So you're right. It's a great assessment of the fact that if there was a game to steal, this was it. Those shots are going to fall at some point. You hope. The other thing that I thought that was impressive, though, was Capella early on when he blocked that shot from Karl Anthony Towns.
And it finished on the other end?
Finished on the other end. It set a precedence, and he got several more blocks down low. And I thought, okay, that's a really good sign that Capella is actually – being a rim protector to start off the playoffs. That's a great sign for this team.
No question. And look, anytime you're playing in a series like this and Capella outperforms Karl Anthony Towns,
yep,
you're in a pretty good position, and I think that they are. Look, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, it could have been Toronto in a dogfight with Washington with a 1-8, or Cleveland and Portland giving up the home court like we talked about. As hard as you work all year to get home court advantage, it can go in a game, and those two teams now have their work cut out for them because they lost home court in the very first game that they played. So Rockets at least on the winning end of a ugly game, but now they don't play till Wednesday, so adjustments will be made, and it'll be fun to watch. So we can continue to talk Rockets. We can talk Astros. We got a lot to get to, and if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now I'm going to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. Mike and Tammy Gust have owned American Wheel and Tire for the last 15 years. It was in the family before that. And they do everything from wheels and tires and so much more. They're at 290 and 34th Street. But do yourself a favor before you head out. Get onto the web and check them out at AmericanWheelandTire.com and see all the great things they've done to vehicles across the Houston area to make them unique, stylish, and different. From rims and tires to Kevlar wraps and for your SUV and pickup truck, steps, lights, lifts, all the different things that you want to make that unique look and feel to your vehicle and make it like nobody else's. And, of course, those rims and tires. Yeah, you can go with the customized rims and tire look, or you can just get your standard look that comes with the vehicle off the dealership. That means in stock in their warehouse. They have dealer rims and dealer tires. And in most cases, the big name stores, they're going to tell you, hey, you got to replace that tire. You got to replace that rim. They can fix it. They can patch tires and repair rims, buff out damage so that you don't have to go and spend that extra money to replace everything right off the bat. They're going to be honest with you throughout the process. They got a great, comfortable waiting room, and they're never going to steer you wrong or charge you for something that you don't really need. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street or AmericanWheelandTire.com. Tell them Joel Blank set you by. I see your
dirty face behind your collar. You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, you run the floor, you kick the ball out, repost, keep moving around, search it out. Get to the offensive board. You got to sprint around. You know, like that's you know that's what. And you learn you know when teams are double teaming you, that's what you have to do. You have to make the right play, and so you have to also go get to positions in which where it's difficult for them to double team. And so, transition's a big part of that. But you got to run the floor.
Some would think Coach Tom Thibodeau was talking about how good Clint Capella was at being everywhere he was supposed to be by doing exactly what he said. But instead, he was saying what Karl Anthony Towns has to do differently in Game 2 if he's going to have more than 8 points and be a factor for a team that needs him. to be a factor if they're going to have any relevance in this series. It's Barry and Joel from Cowboys and Indians. It's Nick back at the studio as the usual suspects are back intact and ready to go. We were talking about the Rocket series before the break, and now you hear Tibbs. Look, there's talent on that team, but there's a lot of disconnects.
There is. You can tell that they're a little discombobulated still. They do have a lot of scores. They're not very good defensively. Somebody even texted the show kind of ribbing you about, hey, where was all that Taj Gibson talk? He didn't have a good game defensively.
Nope.
What I did like, though, and one of the notes I made was Tucker's passion. P.J. Tucker is so passionate about being a defender. And he got into it. Who was it? Was
Teague.
It Teague?
Yep.
Him and Teague were going back and forth. And they were jawing, and Tucker wasn't having it. And at one point, it got so passionate. Tucker had – there was a foul, and he was screaming. And he kind of got in his face a little bit. And you could see Harden walk over and try to calm him down. And Tucker kind of shooed Harden away. And you could see Tucker mouth, I got it. Leave me alone. Like, don't – you don't want to defuse that
passion. But kudos to James,
passion.
Who would have been that guy in the past.
Right.
That would have gotten in the middle of it, and there would have been technicals. But James maturing a little bit,
he feels
trying to
different.
Reel him in.
James,
yeah.
He feels more like a leader who's comfortable with being a leader and a superstar. But I like that moment where he was like, I got it. Like, leave me alone. Like, don't put out my flame of fire and hate and passion. That's how he plays. That's how he plays well.
As long as it's controlled aggression, I'm fine with it. You just didn't want to get a T right there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're right. Exactly what I was doing when I was taking notes, saying this looks like a different James Harden. I understand he has got something to prove after his playoff pass. He didn't have to go for 44 in order to get that kind of proof in the pudding kind of deal. But, boy, he went above and beyond. And it wasn't just how many points he scored. It was at one point where he either scored or assisted on 15 straight points in the fourth quarter. It was how he got Capella involved early on to set that first a statement to Karl-Anthony Towns that, hey, this isn't going to be easy. You got work to do. And I like that we're seeing a different James Harden because, as we know, regular season awards don't translate to postseason success. This was the first step. And there's many more to take, as we know. But, boy, I was really, really impressed with James. I've seen him for a long time. I've never seen a James Harden that was this focused, not just on his own stats, but making sure from a team perspective everything was under wraps.
How bad would it have been if this team lost by two because of that weird free throw thing that happened where they thought it was one and then they handed the ball to the ref and then it was weird.
Yeah.
But again,
Chris Paul throws
it
away, and I'm going, my God, it's a three-point game, and they got the ball with 8 seconds.
But they went down and got an easy two off of that weird free throw thing, and I thought, oh, man, if they lose by two because of that, that's going to be talked about quite a bit. Fortunately, that didn't come back to haunt them. Also, my last note that I have, and I was just basically emailing myself notes because I was up so late, but Patrick Reed still wearing the green jacket is stupid.
It's on my list. Yeah.
It's stupid. Stop it. We get it. You won. Bro, now you're the weird guy that is carrying a trophy around.
But are the Rockets not asking him to wear it though? You don't think the Rockets are asking him to wear it?
I think it's
Do
part
think
of the
so?
Deal. I think it's part of the deal why he got the courtside seats because otherwise him without the jacket and no one knows who he is.
But that's the thing. Is anyone like, oh man, he's so Houston? You couldn't pick that dude out of a lineup if he didn't have his green jacket on. He's not Houston.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. He was. First, it started with Chick-fil-A, which wasn't just, hey, he stopped in the neighborhood Chick-fil-A. That was set up so that there was tons of exposure for that. It got all over the place. Then behind the dish for the Astros game Saturday. Then courtside for the Rockets on Sunday. Coincidentally, national TV for both games.
Yeah.
So he's getting all the run in the world out of it. I hope he dry cleans that bad boy because the pit's got to stink by now. But I mean, he got his money's worth out of that jacket.
It just seems kind of silly to me.
Well, but Phil Mickelson, I was telling you guys, started that by driving it through a donut drive-through, and that everybody has to wear it everywhere for a while. I get it's a major accomplishment, no pun intended, but he's home. But you know what, though? If you think about it, hey, if I don't have the jacket, am I getting the phone call that says you want to sit behind home plate one day and then sit courtside
I mean,
and NBA
do it.
The next?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, we have USA Mike on the phone line. He wants to talk Rockets. Mike, what's up?
What's going on, guys? What's going on? First and foremost, great show as always, Joe. Good take about the game one that the Minnesota should have stolen.
Thanks,
but
Mike.
what I was calling in about is the one thing that's not being really talked about nationally, and it was mentioned a little bit during the game broadcast. Minnesota is not a true 8 seed. They're more like a 3 or 4 seed. I think they were at 3 before Butler got hurt. So the Rockets are going to have a little bit more challenge than, say, San Antonio, who looked more like an 8 seed against the Warriors.
Mike, did you read my column on Sports Map this morning? You took the words right out of my article.
I'll be reading it for you today, then.
I literally said that. I said, for as much as the Rockets had the 1 seed and should have had the easiest matchups throughout the playoffs, if you look at them side by side now, especially after Game 1 with New Orleans stealing a game from Portland and everybody thought Portland was the hot team, regardless, Golden State will end up blasting the doors off the Spurs. Then they're going to end up with either New Orleans, who's wounded without Boogie Cousins and doesn't have that the weapons to compete with them, or a team that plays just like they do in Portland. They're not going to get banged up, and they're going to get healthy at the same time. Whereas the Rockets could have a series right now with Minnesota where, like you said, I said, look, they were 3 or 4, Minnesota was, throughout the entire season until Butler missed 17 games. Once he goes down, they're fighting for the 8th spot. But in any other given year, they're probably home court advantage in the first round, hosting somebody else. So the Rockets have to deal with what should have been a higher seed as their first round matchup. Then they're going to get a hyper-physical team either way, with Oklahoma City having offensive talent in those three guys, but Adams is a guy that wants to beat the hell out of you, or one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in the league in Utah with Rudy Gobert and company. That's all before they see Golden State. I said it's just one of those weird years where you're the 1 seed and you end up almost seemingly getting a tougher road than the Warriors do, but, you know, you got to play the schedule that's given to you, and you just got to play it through. But, yeah, Minnesota's definitely a more talented team than an 8 seed.
Oh, definitely a good point.
Well, we appreciate the call, Mike. Thanks for chiming in. Go ahead.
I do have to question why everybody thought the Spurs were going to be such a juggernaut, because that was the thing that kept coming up is, oh, watch out for the Spurs. Watch out for the Spurs. They didn't look good. And I tell you, the two teams that I had been talking about was the Pelicans and the Blazers, and now that the fact that they matched up, I think the Pelicans surprised a lot of people.
No question.
A lot of folks. And I don't think they're going to win that series necessarily, but I think that they're good enough to beat the Blazers. I don't think there's anybody right now that's going to be able to compete with the Rockets outside of the Warriors or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But the Pelicans weren't the biggest surprise, because I was, when we were making the list of teams that the Rockets should be scared of, that was two of the two teams that I said I would be worried about the Pelicans and worried about the Blazers. But I think that they kind of opened some eyes, because it was Anthony Davis and that's it, but they were able to go out and beat a pretty good, damn good Blazers team.
Here's the thing. They did a lot of it with aggressiveness, because yeah. Portland's so finessey, even, you know, up front. They just want to run and gun. And Davis was physical, but how about Holiday? Holiday was a man-child early on in the game, scoring 15 points, but then physicaling the Portland guards, really getting up in their grill, you know, giving them forearms. In the playoffs, you get away with a lot more. They were really physical across the board, and I don't think Portland liked it, and I think it really worked into their favor. Now, of course,
similar to that Pacers, Pacers were very physical in that game, too.
Yeah, it started with Stevenson, who wasn't going to back down from LeBron, even though he got embarrassed a few times. But look, Victor Oladipo is one hell of a talent, easily going to now win the Most Improved Player Award. But, man, all-star, huge. I mean, everybody that thought that they got screwed in the Paul George deal is kind of reevaluating that, including him saying, look, Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, was one of those guys that said that, and I notated that, and I'm not saying I played this way because of him, but at the same time, it was in the back of my mind. Good for him, because you know what? At Indiana, he was an All-American. He's a hell of a player, and they got a really good young team. Not a lot of people outside of Indianapolis know their names, but bottom line is, you watch them play, they play good basketball.
Yeah, and to hold the Cavs to 14 in the first and 15 in the fourth quarter in the playoffs with LeBron James, that's legit.
Yep.
Like, that's a team. They were, when you look at their, you know, they were giving up 104 a game during the regular season, 80. To a LeBron James playoff team, 80, with a healthy Kevin Love. That's a statement game. Do I think the Pacers can win that series? Probably not, no.
I would agree with you, but I also thought Cleveland was going to come back and win that game yesterday because they could flip the switch. But the thing you got to keep in mind is, in years past, you flipped that switch with guys that have been there and done that before with LeBron James. Now you're talking about guys like Hood. You're talking about guys like Clarkson. You're talking about guys like Larry Nance Jr. Haven't ever been in that situation before. It's a whole new ballgame. LeBron was so frustrated, he tried to do it all himself, and he just couldn't.
J.R. Smith was the second leading scorer for the Cavs.
You know what I've noticed watching
him
play, too?
That's not good.
If he gets a wide open look, he's awful. Yeah. But if he's got two guys running at him and he's off balance, he'll knock it down every damn time.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Gerald Green.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, we'll continue to roll on, and we want you to be a part of the show. That's why we call you guys the usual suspects. Please feel free to join us, 713-780-3776, where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. We are here at Cowboys and Indians in the Montrose Midtown area. Nick is back at the station, and we'd love to have you be a part of the show right here on ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen on Taft Street. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still first hour of the three-hour show. It's Barry and Joel at Cowboys and Indians celebrating all the great people that participated in our weight loss challenge and cut the LBs while having some fun in the process. Nick back from a little illness, but thank God he's okay. He's back at the station, and we're all present and accounted.
Celebrating. Now get out here and get some of those LBs back, right? Not too many, though. Don't go crazy. Just, you know,
just
a little
enough.
Cheat meal. A little cheat meal.
Just enough.
I'm having the come to find out, I thought that the Himalayan Heat Burger came in sliders, and it doesn't. But I made Haas, but I had it before, so I made him do it again for me. So it's basically they take the regular sliders, and then he made them Himalayan Heat Burger style. And then I did Tyler's and added the 65 sauce on the side to dip it in. It's, I mean, without sounding gross, I would have sex with this plate right now if I could.
That did sound gross, by the way.
It's that good, though. It's that good. It's orgasmically good.
Mo preaches a lot when he talks about Houston Family Nutrition about whatever you can do that feels orgasmic, do it. And that helps
That's
you in
right.
the process.
That's
so,
right.
You know, if you can orgasmically lose weight and feel great, then why not?
I'm on my way.
I don't know what you're losing
I'm
weight.
I'm on my way to being
you're feeling great.
I'm on my way to being a skinny bitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And if that's your objective in life, then skinny bitch it is. We can turn the page now, I guess.
Yeah. Was there any other, like, NBA stuff?
I mean, look, we talk so much basketball on this show. We'll get back to it. we run the table with variety.
We're just not going to gloss over that. So we had a text come in that said, Dell and Rahil talk way more basketball than this show.
Okay.
And Tyler, the producer of the Rahil and Dell show, was sitting here, and I read the text. He goes, oh, yeah, Rahil had mentioned it on the show and said you guys were going to get mad about it. And it was like, I don't care that they talk more basketball than us because it's probably not very accurate or good. So it's all about quality over quantity.
Exactly. And when you have the ear of the people, you tend to cater to what they want to hear and talk about. So we'll get our share of basketball, and if people want to call in and talk about it, we'll continue to talk about it. But other than that, we run the gamut from non-sportsy, sportsy, baseball, basketball, football, golf, whatever. But it's whatever's on your mind, not what they're forcing down your throat or your ears.
My new favorite thing now is the panic over the Astros. That's my that's what brings me the joy in my life. Remember last week when everyone was calling for Giles' head because he was the worst thing ever, and Brad Peacock was the best thing ever, and he should be the closer, and then he gave up a couple runs and imploded, and then Harris did too, and then everyone in the bullpen did. And yet the bullpen still has the third lowest ERA in the American League, but everybody's freaking out about that stuff, and the team's not hitting.
You know the hitting thing's going to be the issue now.
Of course it is. Here's the thing. Do you think that this team is worse than they were last year at this point? Do you have that vibe? Do you feel like,
I think the city has that vibe. I do not, but I think overall the city definitely has that freak-out feeling to it.
They are 16 games in. And I think this would surprise everybody within earshot of this station that they are one game worse than they were last year at this time.
Really?
They were 11-5 last year. They're 10-6. So I know everyone driving around that's a big Astros fan with their World Series gear on is freaking out. This team is one game worse than they were last year with a better rotation. They have two guys in this rotation in the top five in ERA. This team, the bullpen is fine. The hitting will be fine. The Astros will be fine. Everybody chill.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, I was trying to tell people the same thing. And then I did Sports Sunday last night, and they wanted to talk about it and talk about the bullpen and talk about, you know, how everybody is freaking out. And the bottom line is, if you go look at team ERAs and you start with the starting pitching, they have the second-best starting pitching in the league. If they score any runs even at a fraction of what they've been scoring and what they'd scored all last year, and I expect them to score again this year, everything's going to balance out and be just fine. Because it's how often – just take last night as just the microcosm. How often is a 44-year-old guy going to throw a perfect game for seven innings? And,
boy,
oh, by the way,
that was nuts.
Verlander with one mistake, one hit through seven innings, another double-digit strikeout performance, and everybody's freaking out. Look, in any case other than that, the anomaly that was Cologne last night, you're probably winning that game easily. So it's just a matter of, you know, early in the season, you know, feeling your way through, working things out, and it should be fine. Look, the other thing is there's a lot of teams that got off to a hot start. Boston, in their storied history, has never got off to a start as hot as they are right now. So that's something that's on people's minds. The Angels are playing better baseball. That's something on their minds, too. So we'll see how it all plays out. But right now, I wouldn't be pressing any panic buttons.
No, and Brandon Hannon tweeted and said, what do you think about the Astros? You know, should they be worried a little bit about the Angels? The Angels are a good baseball team. You know, you'll probably hear me say this a lot this year. I picked them to make the wild card when a lot of people thought, the Angels probably aren't going to be that good. They are good. They went out and got help for Mike Trout. They went out and got help for the best player in baseball. This is going to be a good baseball team. But no, I'm not concerned about it because it is a really long season. And there's something that the Angels are doing that I think could come back to haunt them in the long run, and that's going with a six-man rotation. When you start going with a six-man rotation, I realize you're letting Ohtani rest and he's only pitching on Sundays. But six starters is always going to be worse than five, and five is always going to be worse than four, because the more starters that you put in that rotation, the quality starts to go down exponentially. So I think in the long run, the Angels are going to have to figure out what they're going to do with that rotation. They've had 16 starts, and the number of guys that have started a game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different starting pitchers over 16 games. That's not a good recipe for long-term success in the majors.
You think you're the only ones, too? The Yankees, their fans have been constantly pressing the panic button. Everybody's saying, our bullpen's supposed to be the best, and it's looked like garbage. And what about, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and all this other things? Look, you're 16 games into a 162-game schedule. There is a ton of baseball still to be played. And on paper and pound for pound, no matter how you slice it, your team is loaded, and they are going to be okay. But this is what tends to happen early in the year.
Yeah, and this tweet Tyler was just showing us, it's from It's D-Train on Twitter. 2017 Astros through 16 games, 11-5, which I just mentioned. They had scored 67 runs and allowed 55 runs. This year, they're 10-6, one game worse. Guess what? 67 runs scored, 49 runs allowed. Scoring the same amount of offense offensively, giving up significantly less when it comes to pitching. This team is going to be fine, Houston. Everybody chill.
Well, and the other thing that's humorous to me, too, with what I just said about starting pitching, second-best ERA behind the Mets, who are just out of their minds right now. Second-best ERA from starters in the league. But everybody wants Keuchel either in the bullpen traded or gone.
That's the other thing. Do you remember when – this is what cracks me up about Houston and Astros fans – remember last year, even in the start of the World Series and the play, how George Springer shouldn't be in the leadoff spot anymore, and then he ends up being the World Series MVP? Remember when we started the season and everybody wanted Lance McCullers to be the closer?
Yep.
And he's imploding?
Or a year ago when Altuve was slumping and everybody's like, oh, is this the end? He's never going to come on, man.
Yeah, you got to let the stuff play out. Stop. Don't overreact and don't panic. Everything levels out. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but and again, the schedule makers not doing you any favors. A night game last night that thankfully went fairly fast, but then they get on a plane, fly all night to Seattle to open up a four-game set in which I believe it's like late afternoon start. So not even 24 hours after they play in Houston, they're playing in Seattle tonight or late this afternoon. So I hope they got some sleep on the plane, and that's never an easy excursion, but hopefully they'll be okay. And they'll be back at it. Keuchel, the guy that we mentioned, will be on the bump tonight for the
0-2 Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah. So we'll continue to roll on. If there's something you want to get in on the show and you want to talk basketball the entire 3 hours, well, then, you know, there's always a two-hour show in the late morning, early afternoon. But in the meantime, we are open to whatever you guys want to talk about, baseball, basketball, football, whatever. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.